Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Not exactly splitting the atom when you talk about random games in the NBA playoffs, but a reasonable outlook at this. Going in, you figure, well, most likely the home team's going to win. That's usually how it works. Teams in the NBA are often tremendous at home, out of this world, and then when they go on the road, P.U. So it's not that complex a situation, but in the late game, I'm not going to spend too much time on the Blazers and the Nuggets because we're being covered up in some places because of this game, so why would we spend too much time on it? There's some post-game programming on some of our affiliates. But the Denver Nuggets, right? Better story in the losing locker room. The Nuggets go down 119-108. We'll get to the Philly-Toronto game in a minute. But a couple of takeaways from the Blazers' win. The first one is on the Blazers' side, where Damian Lillard, who had not had a very efficient stretch of games here. In fact, the one game in Denver that the Blazers won, he sucked out loud, but he was pretty good offensively. He had 32 points in this game. The Blazers were actually outscored while Lillard was on the court, which is odd. But the Rodney Hood and some of those secondary guys, Zach Collins, of all people, putting up monster numbers. And the Denver Nuggets, it's kind of like what we talked about the other day when everyone put up huge statistics. Nikola Jokic is a given. You know when Jokic is out there, the way he's played, you're not going to get a pathetic performance from Jokic. The other guys looked like they were overmatched in this particular game. And Paul Millsap, who's making like $30 million a year and played like a $30 million a year player in the previous game, he was back to being the sideways Paul Millsap. He took 15 shots. He missed 11 of them for the Nuggets. And Gary Harris, who I think made his first two shots for the Nuggets, the rest of the game, he was like 2 out of 9 the rest of the game. But Jamal Murray was missing a bunch of shots. Everyone was – Nuggets shot 38% in this game. Now, is that great Trailblazers defense? Bad offense. And the rebounding thing also in this game, where the rebounding was about even. Now, typically, you expect in the games in Denver, it seemed like the Nuggets were like plus 10, plus 15 in every one of those games. So it's tied up. There'll be a Game 7 Sunday afternoon in Denver, which is good. I'm happy because the choke factor is very high in these Game 7s. And we have another Game 7 because 2 days after getting blown out, we'll shift over to the Eastern Conference. 2 days after getting blown out by 36 points. Disgraceful. Philadelphia. Bouncing back, or did Toronto realize, wait a minute, we can't win by 36 points. We had to go back and play Raptors playoff basketball. Well, the Sixers have also forced a decisive Game 7 in the Eastern Conference. Jimmy Butler, it was the Butler that did. He had 25 points. Ben Simmons played well. More on that in a minute. Joel Embiid showed up and didn't throw up this time, so baby steps for Joel Embiid. And the Sixers staving off elimination, which is one of my favorite words, staved. There's no other context we use the word staved other than in sports, staved off elimination. So the winner-take-all Eastern Conference Finals will also have a Game 7 there. So let's discuss the question. The Sixers, as they rebound and pound the Raptors, are you surprised? And again, much like the Nuggets and the Blazers, no, I'm not. I'm not surprised. My thoughts on this particular mashup, you've got the melodrama, the chocolates, and the DNA. And we will put all of this together into a nice pie crust, and then we'll put some apple on top, some sugar, because that's all people, you know, sugar, fat, and salt's all you really want when you eat, and then we'll put it in the oven and we'll bake it and we'll see what happens, what kind of pie comes out. But Philadelphia won the game 112-101. It was not even that close, Toronto outscored Philadelphia in the fourth quarter to make it seem like it was a little bit more of a competitive game. But we'll begin with the fact that, A, Philadelphia, while they didn't have a wire-to-wire lead, it was close. Toronto led early in the game. You saw the game, you know, early in the game, the Raptors, much like Denver, had a lead. They were up by 10 early against Portland. But in the earlier game, Toronto led early. After that, final 36 minutes, they did not have a lead. So it's, again, one of those games you want to spend too much time microanalyzing. But, you know, not to diminish the Sixers win, but let's diminish it anyway, because why not? We've got the microphone and headphones. What the hell happened to consistency, right? This is for both teams. Like, it's a nightly melodrama. It's one night you're hot, one night you're cold, spin it up, down, and all around. And Ben Simmons, who some now are, wow, see, Ben Simmons is good. I got a guy emailed me from a Philly guy. I don't know if he's in Philly or he's an ex-Philly person. But he's like, ah, Mally, you rip Ben Simmons, you kill him. Look at him, he played great. Guys sent me an email. Listen, Ben Simmons deserved to be crushed like a grape after his performance in Game 5. He had 7 points in that game, and Philadelphia lost by 36. He played like a coward. I don't know how else to say it. In that game, he did. Now, he played better in this game. He got some payback, got a little bit of revenge in this spot in Game 6, and he had a nice stat line. But he is still, I maintain, I'm not changing my position, that Ben Simmons, when you play Philadelphia, he is a liability on offense. He cannot shoot from the outside, and it's a power play situation for the other team on defense. If, as long as Ben Simmons is away from the basket and not aggressive and not going to the basket, you have an advantage because he will not shoot from the outside. So one game does not change the whole narrative here. It doesn't. And as far as Joel Embiid, yeah, he plays well. And I know the NBA media, you know, slobber. That's NBA media with these guys, right? I mean, God forbid truth in broadcasting, but they're like, oh, when Embiid plays well, well, he's healthy. He's not battling anything anymore, right? Embiid played well, and he was back to being his charismatic, big guy, smiling and all that stuff, not reading the box score on the bench, and he had a redonkulous plus 40. He had a plus 40 on the plus minus in 35 minutes. That you very rarely see that. And you know, he didn't shoot well. That's nitpicking. He didn't shoot well. He shot 35% from the floor, but he had 17 points and 12 rebounds. And how about this, though, for a public relations stat from the Sixers? The Sixers, with Joel Embiid on the floor, have outscored Toronto by 80 points in this series. Which seems odd to me because at times Embiid, it's like he's been vomiting and puking all over the court. Of course, they picked up 40 extra points in this game, but they've been plus, the math is plus 80 when Embiid's been on the court. When Embiid's been off the court for the Philadelphia 76ers, they've been outscored by 97 points! 97 points when he's not out there. And since he played well, that means, you know what that means? In the next game, he'll be sniveling and shivering and wearing a blankie on the Sixers bench because he'll have a cold, right? He can't go through customs to go through Toronto. So what are we supposed to do with this, right? And the same thing goes for the Toronto Raptors and their key players. Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka were no-shows. Danny Green and Marc Gasol were mostly useless. And Toronto, they did not have the energy or the enthusiasm that I think you kind of have to have at this point. They treated it without that sense of urgency there, and they got what they deserved here. I mean, the Sixers, every hustle statistic, the Sixers had an advantage in over Toronto. Rebounding, fast break, second chance points, points in the paint, all the different categories and go on and on and all this. But it was a lifeless performance by Toronto. And Philadelphia, meanwhile, they were efficient and smiling. Of course, when you're up by a gazillion points, you're probably going to be happy. Right? You're probably going to be happy. And so part B of this now, the series is a riddle. We are heading towards a Waterloo moment this weekend back in Toronto. And these teams, as I've tried to lay out, are eerily similar. Both Toronto and Philadelphia, if you were to classify them, you would use the word bipolar. That is how you would classify Toronto and Philadelphia. From game to game, from day to day, from minute to minute, you don't know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates, right? You go in there. What kind? Am I going to get a candy with caramel in it? Is it going to have some nuts in there? Maybe some kind of fruit thing? That's the question when you talk about both these teams. I can make here a compelling argument for both our friends from Canada and our friends from the Delaware Valley playing like absolute choking dogs in Game 7. And if I present that argument, you're not going to push back. Kyle Lowry, who's a holdover from the old regime. Now, there's a lot of guys that were there, but Lowry was a headliner. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan were the two guys. Dumb and Dumber, right? Those two guys. And so Lowry's got, you know, he's got that pussy willow kind of reputation in big playoff games for the Raptors. And the Raps, they got a bunch of guys that have choke tendencies. And keep in mind, they talked the talk. They said all the right cliches and all the right catchphrases to the media prior to this particular game and then went out there and just defecated all over the court for most of the game. Now, the last thing here, it would be scandalous, inappropriate, and I hope this happens. I have a dream. My dream is that both Kawhi Leonard and Joel Embiid miss Game 7 with load management. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be? Because they got to rest up for. No, let me tell you my plan. So both Kawhi and Joel have to miss Game 7 because they want to rest up for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks in the conference finals. And you know what? Under the Maller plan, if both Kawhi Leonard and Joel Embiid miss the game, that's a wash. Come on. Come on. That's a wash. It is. It'd be great. But listen, the roadmap to winning the final game in this series is not that difficult. It really is who punches the other in the face first. That seems like the kind of matchup. Is that too simple? That both teams have a lot of I give up in their DNA, which means if Philadelphia comes out and jumps out by 20, Toronto's going to get in the fetal position and start sucking their thumb, and vice versa. If Toronto comes out and you look around the court and there's Drake over there dancing, flying around, and all those the famous Canadians doing their thing, Biebs will be there, and then the Raptors will win by a bunch of points. But the biggest success out of all this is the aforementioned Giannis Antetokounmpo, because the Milwaukee Bucks are waiting. They're relaxing by the pool, drinking Mai Tais, and just enjoying themselves. Well, you know, they are in Milwaukee, but still, all right? They're hanging out, and they just want the Sixers and the Raptors to bludgeon each other, if you will. All right, so the Raptors went out, and they hired a male nurse as their coach to try to fix things here, and right now, so far, we're not sure. Haven't won Game 7, haven't lost Game 7 either. Here's Nick Nurse on what he is going to inform. A win one for the Gipper, if you will, for a Game 7 situation.
Well, I think, you know, it's not unlike where we've been a couple times in this series already, right? They're critical games. They're all critical, you know, and we've got to play with great physicality, great speed. Connected on the defensive end, I think we gotta play our, you know, one of our best defensive games of the year. Make sure, and you know, play with some gusto on offense.
It's quite the rah-rah speech. I want to run through a building after that. No wonder the Raptors played so well with that kind of haiku from their coach. Come on, wow! All right, Kyle Lowry. Now, we mentioned Kyle Lowry. If you look at his resume, a lot of pussy willow stuff in the playoffs for Kyle Lowry. He's got that DNA of I give up. Here's Lowry, who did not play very well. Listen to Lowry explain. This ought to be good. Listen to Lowry explain the key for him going into a Game 7.
It's going to be a big game for us.
Really?
We got to play harder.
I'm shocked.
We got to do everything we need to do to win the game. You know, Game 7 is do or die. Win or go home, really.
Every cliche. I want every cliche. I want every cliche. Can you believe that I would not have known? I would not have known this is a big game unless. Can we hear that again? Kyle Lowry, Game 7, your thoughts.
It's going to be a big game for us. We have to play harder. We got to do everything we need to do to win the game. It's game seven. It's do or die. We're going to go home, really.
Well, they're all important. We got to win as many as we can. A lot of baseball to be played. Anything can happen. Yeah, we're going to come to the yard each and every day, battle each night, and look up at the end and see where we stand. We know our work is cut out for us. We got a lot of work to do. Hopefully we can all come together, realize what we have here, and try to get something done.
Forget Ken Griffey Jr. No. Forget Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, A-Rod, Edgar Martinez, Ichiro. The greatest Mariner of them all is John McLaren. That guy's a Hall of Famer. That ought to be it. You know, Abbott and Costello, they did this famous recording before all of us were alive, right? Who's on first and all that? They're in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of that. They should put John McLaren in the Hall of Fame because of that song.
We're playing our ass off every day and got nothing to show for it. I'm tired of losing. I'm trying to get my ass beat, and so are those guys. We're going to change this around and get after it. And only we can do it. The fans are pissed off, and I'm pissed off, and the players are pissed off. And that's the way it is. There's no easy way out of this. Can't feel sorry for ourselves. Gotta buckle it up and get after it. Tired of damn losing this every night, and we bust our ass. It's gotta be a total team effort to turn this thing around, and that's it.
I just love every part of that. I love the deranged, you know, hissy fit angle to it, but he kept it so generic in his tantrum. This towering rage of anger that he, even though he cursed every other word, we still, the beauty of this is it works for any sport. We could play it in football, baseball, but it's omnipresent, the soundbite. It works for literally anything. Olympics, wrestling, you name it. It is the perfect generic soundbite right next to Torts saying we sucked at a time you should not suck, which is also a wonderful, glorious soundbite.
And we sucked at a time that you can't suck.
Which is perfect also. These are two wonderful things. This is a great mitzvah. We can mix and match these on our show. All right. We say hello now to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia.
Hello, Ben Maller.
Hello, Eddie. Everything all right with you?
Everything's wonderful. So yeah. I was running a little bit late today.
I gave you some great advice, I thought.
So I texted everyone on the crew, just wanted to let everybody know, hey, just give you a heads up. I said, I am running late. I might not be there by the top of the hour. And then Ben Maller responded with this text. You should drive instead of running.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
Lame jokes coming up later tonight, everybody.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's a long, you live pretty far away from here, so it'll be a long run. I don't know.
Very funny and very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
It just popped into my head there.
And then there was a disturbing,
oh,
like a smiley face laughing thing.
Oh, yeah.
I
don't know how
that was from Justin Cooper.
I don't even know how you do that.
And Roberto also responded with two
regular
crying and laughing emojis.
Old school emojis, but Koopa, that looks like a scary,
it was disturbing.
Killer,
it was disturbing.
That's the I see what you did there face.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to get that, though. How do you get that? What do you get that on the iPhone? You have that on the iPhone or what?
Yeah.
You don't know?
Is that a GIF? What is that?
I don't know. He's walking away.
No, it's just a JPEG.
Huh. All right.
So thank you guys for your support.
We're here for you.
Appreciate that. Eddie, I'm glad you made it safely, Eddie.
Thank you.
Well, you did sound a lot like DeSager at the top of the hour to me.
I'm a man of many talents.
You did a very good DeSager impersonation.
Thank you.
It was not disappointing at all. It was like, wow, it kind of sounds like DeSager. No, it's Eddie. It's got to be. It's clearly Eddie. Obviously, it's Eddie. No question about that.
And then, Ben, I saw you were bumped over to the other studio.
I was because one of our fine editors was in my chair, and
that's your chair.
Well, yeah, that's why I prep. that's why I prep for the show, Eddie, for like 20 years. So, actually, not 20, but as long as this current setup has been in effect over the last, I don't know how long it's been, but anyway, so I go in there, and normally my move, Eddie, is, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm usually pretty antisocial.
You're a creature of habit.
Yeah, so I go in there, and I see someone in my chair. It's like, oh my God, that's my space. He must know that that's my space, right? I mean, he must know that that's where
everyone at the network knows.
I'm there five nights a week. My fat ass is sitting in that chair printing some stuff up and looking at the computer, and so he doesn't move. You know, he doesn't move, and I'm like, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, hey, I'm doing some editing and all that stuff. And so I put my stuff down, and I waited for about a second. I engaged in some mild small talk, And then
did
I,
you hover over him to make him uncomfortable?
No, he was really good. Like, he was telling me stories about movies he was going to see and, you know, real small talk stuff. And so then I realized, well, he ain't moving. And so I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to be the one, the adult here. I'm going to have to walk out of the room and walk around to the other room. So I walked out of that room, made a right, and then I walked down the hall and made another right, and then I made a left, and then I made a right, and then I sat down, and then I there was another computer. It's a lot of work, Eddie. But I did it. So there you go.
It was a trying start to the show for all of us.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
The best is when I always pass by and you have the door closed.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
That's occasionally really antisocial. Not that anyone ever says anything to me anyway, so it's not. Usually that's when Ralph's here. If Ralph's here, I'll have the door completely closed. Because I know Ralph, even when it's closed, he'll barge in. That's like when I used to cover baseball games and I'd sit in the press box. They didn't want to talk to me, so I had my headphones in. I wouldn't be listening to anything. I just had my headphones in. And some people will pull your headphone out of your ear to talk to you. I hate that. Anyway.
Oh, then the jig is up. They pull it out of your ear. Like, you're not listening to anything.
it's not a good situation.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we could sit here and wax poetic about the fallout, the postmortem on Ty Lue walking away from the Lakers. That's now two coaches that the Lakers wanted who said, go pound sand. We could go back and reminisce about the good old days when Magic Johnson quit an hour before the Lakers' last game of the regular season. But we have a whole new layer to the cake of Laker neurosis to tell you all about. Now, if I was running a website still, and I used to run a website for a long time, the headline I would put on this story, you know what it is? I'm very proud of myself for coming up with this because I think this would be the perfect headline. Mutiny on the Bronny. That sums up what's about to happen. The fan backlash. If you have no idea what I'm talking about and you think I'm speaking some kind of foreign language, let me help you out. The Laker supporters are so frustrated with the franchise. How frustrated are they with the direction of the team that is being run into the ground right now? They are planning to protest on Friday afternoon outside of Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles. So I want to talk about this, the event planned to take place just after noon local time. So there's a chance when you're hearing this, it's already happened. But it doesn't matter. We can do the recap later, but let's look ahead to what we have to look forward to. The question is, how should Laker historians feel about this scheduled protest against Jeannie Buss, Kurt Rambis, Rob Pelinka, and the front office? Now, my observations here. You've got Rhythmic, Shakespeare, and Toys R Us. You've got those three things, and we will mix all of this together and do a nice little package, and we'll wrap the package, and we'll send it out next day air. You'll get it the next day. You're not going to get it the same day. You're going to get it the next day. That's how it's going to work. Now, number one, this protest, I love it. This is wonderful. I laughed my ass off. When I first was sent a person contacted me and said, hey, Ben, you're not going to believe this. And I said, no, I'm not. Was that from The Onion? That must be from The Onion. No. This is really what's going on. It is wonderful. Desperate times call for desperate measures. The irony of this is so special. Now, if you're new to our show, years ago, way back before you were probably listening to this show, I, along with Clipper Darrell, it was mostly Clipper Darrell and his bullhorn, I was just alongside, we marched through the streets of Los Angeles this is how long ago it was, the Lakers were in the playoffs and they were playing the Phoenix Suns. That's how long ago it was. It's been a long time, almost 10 years since the great march of LeBron James to bring LeBron to the Clippers. And we were mocked and ridiculed. You know who mocked and ridiculed us? Laker fans! They had their flags up. They had their Laker flags, and they had their jerseys and their hats, and they were pointing and laughing. They laughed at Clipper Darrell. They laughed at me. And now I laugh at you. You have come full circle. Congratulations. You've done the 180. You've gone all the way to the other side. I hope you're happy. All right? I hope you're happy. I don't have any regrets, by the way. I have to tell you, I've done a lot of dopey things over the years. I've broadcast from the pit of a Jiffy Lube. I've done shows from biker bars. I've met listeners who bring imaginary parrots with them. I've done some odd things in my life. But I got to tell you, that was one of the more fun experiences I've had. It was very unique, very enjoyable. And for our Laker historians in SoCal who are listening to our flagship AM 570 here to the Ben Maller Show, I advise you to show up. It's a great way to blow off some steam. And please, I beg of you, if you do one thing, if you go to this thing, I need rhythmic chanting. Enjoy the bond. Enjoy the bond with others who share your disdain for Jeannie Buss and that skinny suit-wearing bozo Rob Pelinka. The Empress in power and her henchmen, the skinny suit toady. All right. Now, I hope we get a chant as good as the Urban Meyer chant from an Ohio State disgruntled fan rally, which we still play from them. There it is. Yeah. Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. Fire Jeannie. Fire Jeannie. Right? Boom. Done. There you go. Right? Now, from what I was reading here, the person planning the protest pointed out that he does plan to have the following chants. Sell the team. Fire Rambis. Fire Linda. That's Kurt Rambis' wife. Kevin McHale. I don't know what that's about. No Jason Kidd. No Jason Kidd. And they're going to chant Shadow Owner. That's what they're going to chant. So the guy behind this hootenanny says the goal is to protest with media coverage. That's why, keep in mind that no Laker employees will see this. The Lakers, of course, because they're the Lakers, their offices are right near the Pacific Ocean in El Segundo, which is actually near LAX, but they're not even near, you know, Staples Center. They're over in the South Bay area, so they don't have to worry, or South Bay adjacent, I guess. So they're not going to even be there. This is all for media consumption. This is all for media consumption. They want some media. They say that Jeannie Buss hates bad PR. Well, who likes bad PR? You know, who really? Maybe Donald Trump. But other than that, you know, most people don't like bad PR. They say the female Dolan doesn't care about the voice of the purple and gold fanatics, and she only cares about the spin from the media. So the greater L.A. area has a population of nearly 13 million residents. It's probably more than that now. They're going to do a census coming up next year. But it's roughly 13 million. How many people do you think are going to show up to this particular event? How many people do you think are going to be there at an event? We hear the rage, the anger, the shock, the awe of the Laker historians with the state of the franchise now. What do you think? How many people? 1,000? 2,000? No. They are expecting a crowd between 60 and 80 people to show up to this shindig. That is like a thimble of sand off the beach and saying you've taken all the sand off the beach is pretty much what's going on. But guess what? You know, I'm going to defend these people because I've been part of one of these things, and normal adults, grown-ups have responsibilities. They've got families, they've got kids, they've got jobs. And they also have a lot of other things to do. There's also a ton of traffic and things like that. I think if you get any more than like 30 people there, you've accomplished something in today's world. I think you have. Now, the second thing is we talk on Fox Sports Radio about this Laker fan protest, which is really a Laker historian protest because there are no fans. There's historians that talk about the good old days. Now, the second thing here, it was William Shakespeare, of all people, the great William Shakespeare, who foreshadowed this event way back in the early 1600s. He wrote, "Hell hath no fury like a Laker fan scorned." That was what he wrote in the 1600s. And it's going on right now. The Lakers supporters are acting like petulant children. And I love it. So privileged, right? They're having a little temper tantrum. "We haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. Where? You know what the Laker historians are? It's like the kid who loves video games. And mom and dad come in, pull the plug on the video games, and the kid then tells his parents, "You are no longer my parents because of this egregious act of taking away my video games." It's a classic hissy fit. But again, blown off some steam. You know, marching while holding torches and pitchforks. I love it. It's a coping mechanism, and it's escalated. It's taken a few years, but here we are. And if you want to have your mind blown about how pathetic and what a deep, dark spot the Laker franchise is in, if you go back the past six seasons, the New York Knickerbockers have a record of 163-329. The Los Angeles Lakers have a record of 163-329. They are exactly the same. They have the same exact record, the Lakers and the Knicks, the past 6 years. Garbage in, garbage out. All right, final point here. So the Lakers' insurgency is going to pale in comparison to what I was part of about 10 years ago with Clipper Darryl. Why? Because we were the forefathers, right? Other teams have copied us. The Browns, the Knicks attempted that, when and then they got Phil Jackson, so they canceled it. There have been a bunch of other teams that have done this as well. But in marketing parlance, anyone who's ever taken a marketing course knows, the secret of success is getting into the mind first. We did it first! You got our sloppy seconds. We did it first, right? Laker historians have now resorted to the Clipper playbook. And may I recommend the next layer of that playbook, the next chapter, paper bags. Paper bags. And, hey, make sure you wear white to your lottery party. Got to do that. Those are the steps. And if you really want to get rid of Jeannie Buss, here's what you do. You call up Harvey Levin over at TMZ, the TMZ compound. You call Harvey and his minions, and you say, I got a secret recording of Jeannie Buss saying something racist, and Adam Silver will have her sell that team by Saturday. That team will be sold. Gone. Out of
racist.
Here. Absolutely. Now, by the way, this planned protest, well, I think it's going to be great fun, and I'll laugh my ass off when I see the clips of it. I'll be sleeping because I do an overnight show. But it is actually going to backfire. I'm going to tell you why here, okay? Like, the results will not come from this. Sports teams, and I've learned this. I learned this lesson years ago. Sports teams do not respond to protests. They don't. You know why? That means you have passion. And I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a dirty secret here. There is one word and one word only in my life of dealing with people in professional sports and college sports that scares the you-know-what, the heebie-jeebies out of sports executives, gives them anxiety. You know what that word is? Apathy. The moment you stop caring and you become disengaged, stuff changes. Right? So if you really want to send a message, I'm being totally transparent here. I don't like you. I hope the Lakers lose forever. I want Jeannie Buss to stay there. She doesn't know what she's doing. I think it's great. I've enjoyed this. But if you really want to get rid of Jeannie Buss, here's what you do. Don't buy tickets. Don't buy your new Laker hat, your new Laker jersey. Don't do it. Just put an embargo on all that. That message will be heard. The LA Dodgers years ago had a guy named Frank McCourt who people hated. And people called radio shows and posted things on, back in those days, message boards about Frank McCourt. The time that Major League Baseball stepped in was when people stopped showing up to the ballpark. And the Dodgers have always been one of the top-attended teams in baseball, and if not number one every year. And when people started not showing up, Major League Baseball, old Bud Selig, who was the commissioner at the time, he stepped in. He said, wait a minute, we got apathy. People aren't going here. We got to do something about this. And they did something about it. And as for those that are comparing the Laker franchise to a local institution, so I was reading somewhere, they were like, oh, this is, the Lakers are as important to L.A. as the Hollywood sign or the Santa Monica Pier. You know, civic pride and all this. Chill out. To quote Aaron Rodgers, relax. Relax. Nothing lasts forever. Growing up, I was a Toys R Us kid. It was the greatest toy store in the world. I love Toys R Us. Bigger and better than all the other toy stores. Go find one. Find a Toys R Us. They're all gone. They're all gone. What happened? That was an institution. Toys R Us. Gone. See you later. All right, anyway, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold. I wish we had better microphones, Garcia.
You stole my thunder a little bit, Ben. I was going to say exactly what you said. The blueprint is not the Clippers. The blueprint is the Dodgers. You stop showing up and you stop caring, and that will affect change.
They're addicted. It's in their bloodstream, Eddie. They can't give it up. They can't give it up. You got to watch. They watch every game. The team stinks. They blow, and they still go and watch every game.
Well, that is true. And then there's also the high dollar, you know, tickets. They still buy them. They just won't show up. You know, the people down on the court.
Oh, they only show up. The Hollywood crowd doesn't even know what the record
they
is.
They might give the tickets to someone, but those seats are still going to be sold.
The Hollywood crowd that goes to these Lakers games, they think that James Worthy is still playing for the Lakers. They don't know. They just, like, go out there, and they're like, hey, I'll come over from the Paramount lot and Warner Brothers, and I'll sit there and watch a little basketball and schmooze and eat a hot dog, and I'm good. That's how that works, but. Yeah, I think it's just great. And I when I saw this, I flashed back. I had like a soldier flashing back to combat. I flashed back to those Laker fans holding up their banner. I remember one in particular had a flag, a Laker flag. I was holding it up right in my face. Like, hey, it's a Laker flag. And now I'm thinking, here we are, about 10 years later. And presto. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's great. And we'll have audio. I'm sure we'll get some audio out of it.
Roberto, you going to head down for the protest?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Coop and Roberto are going together. Sleeping. They're carpooling. No, they're not going to sleep. They're both Coop and Roberto will be there. They're going to be part of the fun. I think it's just wonderful. So it's great.
I remember boycotting the Dodgers for 2 years. That was the hardest thing I had to do, man.
Breaking tough court. Love.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. If you want to be part of the show, the number 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can be part of the festivities. So the phones we go. He was a caller of the year. In fact, he is the reigning caller of the year on the show. He has not called as often since he became the caller of the year because he's become a professional athlete. Well, an amateur athlete. The caller of the year for the year 2018 on the Ben Maller Show, Whoopi Pie Blair.
Get out of my way, you bleeping white boy.
Fox Sports Radio.
You got that. Get out of my way, you bleeping white boy. That's what they told me in Boston.
Really? Have you been banned now? Is that? No! At the you're talking about the DMX crowd there when you're walking down the street.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. All right.
And I can run fast. I'm not afraid to run. I got it down to 12 seconds.
12 seconds.
6 seconds too.
Six
also.
Seconds. For what? How far are you running?
That was the straight. So running straight. So yeah. I think that's a. I think that's like the mile, if I'm not correct.
You can run a 12-second
mile. Wow,
that's pretty good.
That is impressive.
They call him, his nickname is Usain, is his nickname, Eddie. He's Usain and to the membrane.
And the 50-yard dash or whatever was in, 50-yard dash, I believe, was the 6 seconds.
6 seconds, a 50-yard. You should be playing for the Patriots.
White Lightning.
You're amazing, Blair. You're missing your calling here. I'm going to call Belichick. We're going to get you a tryout on Wednesday. Can you show up next Wednesday?
Totally.
You would. What number would you wear if you played for the Patriots?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah. You sound tired.
Whatever it was, I have speed. I just know that.
Yeah.
What happened to Beast Mode Blair?
You got it. Right on top of Beast Mode.
Yeah. He had a lot more energy when he was before he started.
Yeah, he sounds a little tired. Well, he's working out.
Yeah, I know.
Now, have you started cycling yet, Blair? Have you done that?
No.
The clear or the cream? Which one are you
I'll
using?
Just go to Orono, University of Maine.
University
of
Maine.
And have my speed.
Do they test?
And
now, Blair.
First place and
let me
come
ask
back
you this.
With the medal.
Blair, do they test for performance-enhancing drugs in the Special Olympics?
No.
They
I
do
don't,
not.
I don't do drugs or any of that.
You can take some steroids if you want.
You can take some
I don't do any of that. I'm clean as they come.
What if it would guarantee you would win a gold medal at this thing if you took some HGH?
It doesn't matter. I'm clean.
What weed,
I don't do any of that.
Weed Man Hippie knows a clinic, an anti-aging clinic in Miami that you can go
to. Doesn't matter. That guy's done it for years. Yeah. I haven't done it ever.
You're clean. You're pure. You're wholesome.
I'm stupid.
We love that about you, Whoopi Pie Blair. In fact, when you came to that wonderful event, when I got to meet you, and I was honored to meet you, Blair, I was very excited that you were able to show up there. And you are so pure and so innocent that you were overwhelmed by the Maller militia, right? You were overwhelmed by that whole setup. It was crazy in there.
Yep. And I loved it. It was cool.
All right.
Cool venue. But I'm going to work on my speed whenever I get a chance.
Well, you know, if you're running 6 seconds and 12 seconds, you're good. You don't need to worry about anything. Just maintain that.
it down to 2 seconds, maybe.
All right. Keep us posted, though, Blair. Don't be a stranger,
love
all right?
Love you, Ben.
All right, bye-bye. There you go. All right, yeah, you get some sleep.
Beast mode, Blair. Never forget it.
If I go to sleep, there's a problem, because I still have plenty of radio to do here. But you can go to sleep. You're in good shape there. Yeah, you're okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop da loop.
Ben, Chris Sale finally pitched a good game on Wednesday. The Red Sox finally brought their record to at least 500.
Don't they have 22 strikeouts in that game as a team, I think, of the Orioles.
Yeah, Chris Sale had 14 of them.
Yeah.
Ben, a couple of weeks ago, you said it was already time to hit the panic button in Boston.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Is it time for some optimism now?
No, no. That's not how Boston rolls. You need to be pessimistic, not optimistic in Boston. First of all, the Red Sox, they finally started to take advantage of some cupcakes. The last few games have been against the A's, White Sox, and Orioles, three teams that will not be in the postseason. The measuring stick for the Red Sox is against the good teams, and that's a mixed bag so far against the Yankees and the Devil Rays, or the Rays, rather. Second, the Red Sox, they're not out of the woods, right? Because they're in the middle of the pack in terms of home runs, and they're 18th in wins above replacement and all that. But I'm not convinced yet because they've had an 11-game streak. I got to see more. I got to see another 10, 20 games before I'm saying the Red Sox are back. Next.
We know that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are reportedly close to a contract extension, but the team is still faced with the fact that their three biggest stars in Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and Amari Cooper all have expiring contracts in the next season or two. Now, Stephen Jones, he says that he wants to extend all three players. You think they'll be able to pull that off, Ben?
All right, so here's the thing. Yeah, if they want to, sure. Jerry Jones, first of all, Jerry Jones is worth $6.8 billion. He knows how to manipulate money. Rich people know how to manipulate money. If the Cowboys' heart desires to keep all these guys, they'll stay with the Cowboys. Now, B, or part two of this, Zeke Elliott is the one that you should prioritize. Dakota Prescott is a pedestrian quarterback. Amari Cooper played 9 games. The guy's still got the dropsies. I'm not convinced on that. But if I had to prioritize, I wouldn't pay all three. I'd pay one of them. Next!
Marcus Mariota said that he thinks what the Titans need this year is consistency. Well, it got me thinking, Ben, there are a few multi-year starters out there that lack consistency, being one of them. How many do you think are on the hot seat this season?
All right, so I've got 9. In no specific order, I got Jimmy Garoppolo, 49ers, Jameis Winston, Tampa, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know if that counts in Miami, Matthew Stafford with the Lions, Cam Newton in Carolina, the Panthers just drafted a quarterback, Flacco, Carr, Mariota, Dalton. How'd I do?
I passed.
I won the game. In your face, Rod. Rod said I was going to lose.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's get to it. We got jokes. Hit that button right there. Big Ben, blame joke.
It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
It's going to sound really good on the podcast, Eddie, because you don't hear much of the imaging. Sound great. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week, actual jokes by actual listeners like yourself. We thank you. You guys have done great. We started this, we had like 2 people writing jokes, and now we've got an army, a militia, Eddie, of people writing jokes.
Before.
Yes, it's been wonderful, and thank you so much. As long as you keep sending the jokes. We were worried when Bartolo Colon stopped playing, we were done, but no. We've got Weed Man as our punching bag. And so I'll bounce the joke off Eddie. He'll bounce it back to me. I'll give you the punchline. We do Q&A jokes. That's what works best for our show. If it's funny, you'll hear this. If it's not funny, you'll hear this. If it's not, you know, if it is funny, whatever. You get the point. Anyway, and we have Coop's got offensive jokes. Roberto's got some racist jokes and other jokes. And Weed Man is over there somewhere. You there, Weed Man?
Just realize I have slept on concrete while Donald Trump loses $100 million a year for 10 years.
You're fired.
And your boy, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, his girlfriend.
All right, let's get to the jokes. Here we go. I guess Weed Man doesn't want to be a part of the jokes. All right, why did Aisha Curry cross the road?
I don't know, Ben. Why did Aisha Curry cross the road?
to get attention on the other side, Eddie. She wanted to get attention on the other side, so that's what she did. That's from Kurt. Well, I butchered that. Kurt from Earth. So you know about the pitcher who goes by the name Jim Boeheim? You heard about that?
The pitcher? No, yeah. I didn't hear about that.
Well, statistically, he's the greatest pitcher of all time, but sadly, he will never have a no-hitter, Eddie. Will not have... that's from Kurt from Earth who sent that one in. Did you hear that Bartolo Colon's best friend is in the hospital, almost died after eating a bacon double cheeseburger?
No, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, the burger was actually intended for Bartolo Colon. That's Chris in Maine.
Did you see the other day was the anniversary of Bartolo Colon hitting that home run?
One of the great moments in baseball history. Did you hear that Bartolo Colon burned 2,000 calories in 1 hour?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he accidentally fell asleep while cooking brownies. It was a big, big problem. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Eddie, did you hear that? A lot of did you hear jokes. Yeah. Did you hear that Bartolo Colon offered his services to the Washington Nationals?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, he heard there was a bear claw in the bullpen every night. He got excited about that. That's the closer, or not maybe not the closer, he's the relief pitcher for the Washington Nationals.
He was Bearclaw?
His name's Bearclaw. His last name's Bearclaw.
I didn't know that.
That's how you pronounce it. How did downtown Windsor pay homage to the Detroit Tigers?
I don't know. How did Windsor pay homage to the Tigers?
They had a power blackout. That's from Cowboy in Windsor sent that one in. Every week, Cowboy changes his email address. He does.
Interesting.
What is the difference between the Maller Militia and the Carolina Hurricanes?
The difference between the Maller Militia and the Carolina Hurricanes, what is it?
The Carolina Hurricanes are a bunch of jerks.
The militia.
Eek in Roseville. Why is Harvey Weinstein broke on Mother's Day? Why?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Why is Harvey Weinstein broke on Mother's Day?
Well, he's been getting flowers for every woman in his life who has accused him of sexual assault, so it's... A lot of women. That's Gary in Youngstown. What is Kevin Durant's favorite stretch?
Kevin Durant's favorite stretch. What is it?
The high step. He likes the high step there. No? You know, like it's JJ in Seattle. Did you hear that? Caitlyn Jenner's becoming a man again. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that, no.
Yeah, so now she can show Ben Simmons how to shoot. So that's a good thing right there, yeah?
We're in trouble.
I like that.
Gordon in Tacoma sent that one in. Did you know that Marcel's fiance nicknamed his privates after a rapper?
Huh. Oh, my God.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, Too Short, actually, was the name that he came with. That's from Gary. Gary.
You say you've got two segments of jokes,
segments, yeah. No condom. Carl was hit by his own vehicle after he fell out of it. He told us.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
He was mowed down by his own rubber, Eddie. Yes, he was mowed down there.
I think we might want to go to one segment of jokes.
What do Adrian Peterson...
These jokes suck.
What do Adrian Peterson and the Lakers have in common?
Adrian Peterson and the Lakers, what do they have in common?
They will make a switch for a kid, is what they will do. That is what they will do. That's from Bill from Iowa. Sent that one in.
It's not going well.
It's going very well. You're just upset because you had to buy the pizza. What do Blair in Maine's love life and Kyler Murray have in common?
Blair's love life and Kyler Murray, what do they have in common?
They are short, quick, and have a strong arm. That's they all have that in common. That's from Bill in Iowa. All right, we'll get to the rest of Big Ben's Lame Jokes, the radio roast of Weed Man. Coop's got some jokes. Roberto's got some jokes. We'll get to that, and we will do it next. And back to it we go. It is Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Actual jokes sent in by actual listeners. What do you got over there, Coopaloop? Anything at all you want to...
Yeah, what do you call Bartolo Colon wrapped up in rolling papers?
I don't know.
A fatty.
There you go. That's not bad.
Call me anytime, actually.
Anything over there, Roberto? What do you got? Anything to see here, Roberto?
Did you know back in the day, Joe and Phil were in Playgirl?
Is that right? Playgirl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Lex's father was mad that she had a centerfold of Negroes on her bedroom wall. Gary in Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Gary. Wonderful. Great job. All right, Weed Man, are you there? Here it is, Big Ben's radio roast of Weed Man Hippie, and we'll have more of Cooper.
Lisa, wake up!
All right, stop. What? What does Weed Man and a football team have in common?
Weed Man and a football team, what could they possibly have in common?
They both get blitzed. That's Ernie, the great opiner, put that out there. Did you know Weedman did the DNA test for 23andMe? Did you hear about that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the results came back that he was 75% vagrant and 25% transient. So they had that. Gary from Youngstown set that one in. Why can't Weedman pick up chicks on the boardwalk?
Oh, I don't know. Why can't Weedman pick up chicks on the boardwalk?
They don't give in to peer pressure, Eddie. They don't give in to So Anthony in Anaheim. Why is Weedman staying within 50 feet of the homeless shelter?
Well, I don't know. Why is he staying within 50 feet of the homeless shelter?
He's under house arrest, Eddie, so he's got to stay within 50 feet. So, another one from Gary. It's Big Man's Lame Jokes of the Week. What does Weedman Hippie need more than money?
I don't know. What does Weed Man need more than money?
A shower, Eddie. He needs a shower. That's from Fred in Palmdale.
Don't tell me money.
A podcast listener, Fred in Palmdale. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Very good. Good job by you. How would you know Weed Man Hippie's world has turned upside down, Eddie?
How would we know if Weed Man's world was turned upside down?
The this way up arrows on the cardboard box are facing downwards. So that's how you know. Awesome. It's also from Fred. What do you have over there, Coop? You got anything, Coop?
I've had that.
What's John Singleton's favorite band?
Oh, God.
The Strokes.
Oh, boy.
That's from Chad.
What's Weedman Hippie's dream vacation?
I don't know. What is Weedman's dream vacation?
Being able to get to the next town over. That would be awesome. That's JJ in Seattle. Why was Weedman Hippie so happy to find a fly in his soup?
Oh, I don't know. Why was Weedman happy the fly was in his soup?
Because he can't find a fly on his pants, Eddie, so he's glad he could get... It's Gordon in Tacoma. How do you get Weedman Hippie to block you on Twitter?
Ooh, I don't know. How do you get Weedman to block you on Twitter?
Offer him a job. He will block you right away. That's another one from our this guy, Fred, sent a bunch of these in. What is Weedman Hippie's last paying job on his resume?
Oh, I don't know. What's his last paying job?
The sperm bank about 9 months before his son was born. That's the last paying job. All right, what, anything else, Koopaloop? You got anything over there?
I got nothing.
All right, he's got nothing. How does Big Mouth Weedman Hippie get his teeth cleaned?
Oh, boy. I don't know. How does Weedman get his teeth cleaned?
He lays out on the street and waits for the street sweeper to go by and cleans him right up. did you know that Weedman found a nice Airbnb when he goes to Washington, D.C. to visit his son?
No, I did not know that.
It's a roomy Maytag dishwasher box behind a 7-Eleven near Georgetown. So it's much roomier than his home in Miami there.
What?
That's from Gary. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week.
Great. It's not that funny.
What does Weedman... Oh, wait, hold on. We'll skip over that one. Why did Weedman Hippie call Rick Pitino after being overcharged for his meal?
I do not know. Why did Weedman call Rick Pitino?
Well, according to Warren, he was looking for some advice on how to deal with being screwed over at a restaurant. He wanted to get some advice there.
In one minute.
All right. Why is there a housing shortage in Weedman's neighborhood?
Oh, I don't know. Why is there a housing shortage in Weedman's neighborhood?
Costco apparently stopped giving out cardboard boxes, Eddie. It's a big problem there in Miami. Gary from Youngstown sent that one in. Why doesn't Weedman like to do his drugs on the beach, Eddie?
I don't know. Why doesn't Weedman like to do drugs on the beach?
He's always getting sand in his crack. He's putting a problem there.
It's police everywhere. That's why.
From Just Josh. Did you know Weedman is actually half Asian?
Oh, I did not know that. No.
His mother is from Singapore. That's Anthony in Anaheim. Where is Weedman's father from?
I don't know. Where is Weedman's father from?
Portugal, Eddie. Portugal. That's Anthony in Anaheim.
What? I
thought you were going to say Hungary.
Well, that could have been good, too. Some guitars have 12 strings. Some guitars have 6 strings. What has only 2 strings?
I don't know, Ben.
Weed Man Hippies underwear. That's it, Eddie. It's only got two strings. That's Gordon in Tacoma. All right, I got two more. What do the Ben Maller Show and heroin have in common?
The Ben Maller Show and heroin. What do we have in common?
Weed Man can't quit either of them for very long, Eddie. That's, I've heard that. It's from Bill in Bill from Iowa. Great job by Bill this week. Guys, so many great jokes. All right, here's the closer. You want the closer?
Yes,
let's
please.
Give you the closer. All right.
Ready.
How is Weed Man Hippie like a domestic house cat?
I don't know. How is Weed Man Hippie like a domestic house cat?
They both take care of their business in a tidy box, Eddie. That's how he's like a cat. There it is. That's from Just Josh. Thank you all for your jokes. Another successful voyage in Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week.
Got a motor. Got to go.